Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to what we can call COVID-19 Brad and Botty Podcast. Botty, welcome back, my man.
Well, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be here on this particular wonderful program. We've got so much to cover and so little time. So let's get into it, Brad.
It just sounded like Willy Wonka. In fact, you're older than him. I just wanted to
Willy Wonka?
That's what I said. What do you think I said? Can I just say?
Is that the coach of the Kings?
Yeah, to all our seven listeners, I just want to say that Botty and I were just chatting off air a little bit, just having a quick rundown because, you know, we haven't spoken to each other since the last time we had a podcast. And we are like school kids on the last day of term. We are so bored, so over it. And when we said, hey, let's do a podcast, we were like puppies. Like, yeah, let's do it. So here it is, and we wanted to start. So, Botty, I'm going to hit it off. Yep. It's been an absolute crazy pandemic in the world. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers go to everyone that has been affected by this, businesses across the world, everything. It's just been unbelievable to watch. But, you know, we're not going to harp on that today. What we're going to be talking about is have some light, some fun. And we really want to talk about the NBL and WNBL and what impact this is going to make. We'll bring in the boomers with it as well. And what impact this is going to have. What do we expect the season to look like? So I'm going to open it up, Botty, and say to you that straight away the NBL has come out and put a 50% pay cut on all players, and if I'm not mistaken, it's over $200,000. So it's sort of like stepped up and down depending on what you pay, what you're getting paid. Throw it at you. Did they do the right thing?
Yes, look, they did. And the fact that the players' union completely supported it, well, you know, that says everything you need to know. That the future of the league right now is a little bit more important than players sort of making huge amounts of money. And I think the players understand that for the most part. But the impact of that is that, you know, will you be able to attract the same sort of import quality? Will you, you know, it's a very intriguing question. And then there's the other question, Brad, of course, is will there be crowds? Because so many teams need the crowd to be able to pay for the venue. So it's interesting...
Yeah, and here's it for me. I'm going to come from a business sense as well because I am a business owner and, you know, I've had to do some things in my business. Thankfully, it's still going okay as an electrical business I have where we're essential service and stuff. But we've had to make some dramatic changes and we have to put this into concept. You know, I think it's going to be 10% unemployment throughout Australia that this is going to go up to because of COVID-19. Yep. And to think that the NBL or any sport can't be affected is ridiculous. Yeah. What the NBL are doing, they're trying to save their business, and it is a business, right? Yep. So I love the fact that the players, and Jacob Holm, I love, like, he's tremendous, right? And I love the fact that they've come out and they said, all right, we accept it. No one likes it. Don't get me wrong. No one wants this situation. But right now, 50% is better than zero.
But you think about everything that right across the board, like sponsors, like the money that comes into clubs is from sponsors, is from companies, is from businesses. And if those businesses are doing it hard and they haven't got huge profits where they can turn around and say, let's sink $100,000 into this basketball team, you know, clubs will be doing it very, very hard. They're cutting back on their staff and everybody is impacted. And so for the players to put their hands up and say, yeah, we understand that and we're going to do our bit, that's great. That is fantastic. Yep. It means the league will probably be able to go ahead. But in what form? And is that a form that will be attractive enough to get the public on board? Because that's what you need.
You're right. And our listeners are quite educated and they would know that, you know, the league, both of them, you know, it's not like, you know, rugby league and AFL that has billion-dollar TV rights. There's nothing like that. You know, we have our savior in Larry Kesselman that is carrying this league, no question. So if crowds aren't coming in and if sponsors aren't coming in, there's no money coming in.
Exactly.
So an owner is going to have to dig deep. And that worries me for certain clubs, probably all clubs, but it's certain clubs. And I'm going to throw something in. We can come back a little bit. Do you think now, because you're saying, you know, this is what's the game going to be like? Should we now be bringing back the points again?
the point system, the point in terms system, of like,
because if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 70 points, and then players were averaged, and you know, if you're an import, you're 10, if you're an Australian player, you're 10, and you had to have 70. Should that come back into the equation now? Otherwise, some of the richer clubs can really stand forward in this.
Yeah, but don't they already? I mean, don't they already? I mean, didn't Perth just win the championship? Didn't they just beat Sydney? Yeah, I know, but Cairns was the exception. They did a wonderful job up there with what they had. So, look, yeah, I think the point system is to bring it back for one season. I'm not sure that's worth worrying about. But then, you know, this is such a historic occasion that we don't know. We've never seen anything like this before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, everything should be examined. I don't know how the players would react to that, how the Players Association would react to that, because they were the ones that were very strong about getting it kicked out in the first place years ago. They were the ones that drove getting rid of that. So that's an interesting one, because you've got the players on board at the moment. And bear in mind, if we're cutting back roster sizes to 10, we're cutting back imports to 2, which you know, that's us saying that we want 2 imports, but who knows what the restrictions will be on travel. So whether they'll be able, international players will be able to even get here.
Okay, so that brings me to the next thing. The impact on the rosters now that we're coming back to 10 players. So let's again, our listeners are educated, so that we know that there's 12 contracted players in each team, and there were 3 imports. There was a next star and everything like that. So if you go back to 2 imports and you go down to 10 players, I'm a big believer of that, and I think it's the right thing, because if you take one import out and you know all these things, you don't want the league level to drop. I'm not a massive fan of 12 players in the first place, and I've said this before. I like 10. I don't think there's room for 12 players in a 40-minute game. Agreed. Play the 10, play your top 8 or 7, and then the other 2, you know, depending on the game situation, get in 3. Players. So I'm a massive
You're
fan.
You're old school.
I am. Yeah, and I love the fact. So, but I'm going to throw, what impact will it make for 10 players, or in your mind, nothing?
No, well, obviously the standard's going to drop. It has to drop. It's inevitable. But the question to me still remains, excuse me, how many imports will we actually have? Will we be in a position to bring imports in? Or will there be 10-player Australian rosters? You know, now, in the history of the league, only one All-Australian team has ever won the championship, and that was in the inaugural season, 1979. That's St Kilda team, coached by Brian Kerr. Yep. They were all Australians. They won the championship, and that was a phenomenal thing. But we could be in that situation. Now, let's just switch to the WNBL, because it's pertinent, because the talk around the WNBL is the likelihood is there will be no imports. Now, we can get away with that in the women, because the standard of our women, we're ranked
so
number
good.
2. Yeah, yes. We're ranked number 2 in the world. So
good
that
point.
That will not have a huge impact on the WNBL, other than in terms of what people are going to get paid, because that's going to have to pare down, obviously. But it's not going to impact the WNBL, but it will impact the NBL. And it will, you know, like there's, I said this before, when Perth came to town, I went because I wanted to see Bryce Cotton. No offense to anybody else, but I wanted to see Bryce Cotton live. When Sydney came to town, I wanted to see Andrew Bogut live. All right. So if you take out those sorts of players, like, all right, I've seen Chris Goulding. I love the way he plays when he's rolling, but is he going to make me want to go to an All-Australian NBL game? Will he be enough? Who else will be in that game?
Can I just add there, when I was commentating and I came to Adelaide, you told me that you came to that game to watch me commentate. Are you saying you actually came to watch Bogut? Is that what you said? Mate, that's not what you told me.
I lied to try and make you feel good. You look so sad sitting in the corner there by yourself with no one to interview, you know, eating a little bowl of cornflakes. I thought,
hang on, I interviewed Brad. Me, he answered back too. I'm sure I said it out loud. Brad Rosen. I interviewed myself and I answered really well. I thought my answers were excellent. I agree with you. Let's go around the league very quickly and say, righto, you had 3 imports, you got to cut for 2, you got to cut it down to 2. Perth, who do you get rid of? Cairns.
Well, Bryce is gone.
Okay, but I'm saying we'll come and we're going to have our own little chat about Bryce, all right?
Sure.
We'll come to that. But let's just say Cairns. Mate, they were 3 dominant imports.
Yes. Yes, they were. And if who would you retain out of those 3?
Oh, my God.
You can only keep, say you can only keep one financially.
Yeah, you'd have to go, the point guard.
Machado.
You got to go Machado. Like, but that is so not just like Cam Oliver was unbelievable and the best defensive player in the league. You know, like,
yes.
It's so tough.
Do they stay competitive?
Well, it depends what the other teams do. You're right. And what will stand out now is, like, you know, you look at a Sydney and we come back to them. They got some amazing Australian talent.
Yes.
You know, Kevin Lish, Brad Newley, Bogut. It'd be interesting to see if Bogues go round again. We might chat about that soon. It's been an interesting format. The number of imports, and I still agree with what you're saying. Yeah, you could have two imports. Can they get into the country?
Yeah.
How is this? Now, I'm hearing today just that the New Zealand Warriors, and we're talking rugby league, are going to be allowed to come. Right. Yep. So they're allowed to come into Australia. I haven't seen the restrictions yet. They'll probably got a quarantine for 14 days, whatever that may be. So if they're going to allow that, you'd like to think that there's going to be some, you know, precautions in place, and you must have some, like, you know, if the NBL went and said, right, we want to bring in, there's 9 teams, we want to bring in 18 Americans, unless there's some of them are here. Can we do this? You'd like to think they're going to support it.
Before we go any further, let's remember too, what will the quality of these imports be when we're only able to offer half what they might have got previously?
Yeah, but hang on, I'll throw another thing. Where else are they going to play?
Yeah, now let's get to Bryce Cotton. Where is he going to play? He's turned his back on Perth. Now, let me get this straight. Make sure that people understand. I love Bryce Cotton. He's the best player we've had in the league for about 3-4 years, and he's a sensational watch, okay? But his decision to leave Perth at a time when he's got a bird in the hand for the possibility of two in the bush, like who knows what's going to happen in Europe? Who knows what the travel arrangements will be, what the restrictions will be? He's leaving Perth at a time when the league needs him, when he's beholden to the league. Unless he's going to the NBA, right, in which case he would have gone anyway, then I think his decision is very poor and very selfish at this point, when you don't even know if there's going to be a league playing in France, in Italy, in Germany, in Spain, in Russia. You don't even know.
It's a great conversation, and one I was looking forward to talk about. Let's put this into perspective. So I'm sure our listeners are aware, and if they're not, we'll elaborate. Someone of a Bryce Cotton stature would be on over 200,000. He's reported 400,000, 600,000, whatever it may be. It means he will now be on half. So let's just use, for instance, sake, because he's the best player in our league. He's on 600,000. It means that he's now got to take 300,000. If he opts out, which he has done, he has agreed he's opting out. Just so we are aware, and this is my understanding, if I'm wrong, I want to hear from the league, but I don't think I am, is that he, number one, cannot play for another NBL team. So you can't just go now to Melbourne or Sydney or Cairns and say, right, pay me $1 million, but I'll get 500. Cannot work that way. And he cannot re-sign with Perth either on a higher amount to get the 50%. So that's squashed. Yeah. Now, I'm not sure if everything doesn't work out, if he's allowed to go back on to Perth on the contract and earn his 300. That's the grey one for me that I haven't heard. But let's just assume he can. Bryce Cotton would not be leaving, in my mind, if something wasn't planned. In my mind, he is a two-time MVP of our league. He is a three-time champion. He is a two-time NBL Finals MVP. He is the echelon of our league. Absolute superstar. Mate, I'd be shocked if he's not going to the NBA, because why would you leave?
Yeah, okay. So if you're going to the NBA, no dispute. No problem. Big tick. Thank you for being here. We loved you. You're where you need to be. You're where you should have been the whole time. Okay. But if he doesn't have that, if there's some possibility that his agent's saying, oh, we might be able to get you something in Italy or in wherever, you know, Serbia or whatever the hell, that's a nonsense. Stay with the 300 you're getting in Perth. And stay, like, what happens to his bid for citizenship?
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up as well, citizenship. And my understanding is he's got an Australian wife with a kid here as well. So it's a big decision. There is no question it's a massive decision. And I just can't see someone that, you know, anytime I've interviewed him or watch him getting interviewed, class plus.
Yes.
Like just such a class guy. Yep. You know, you saw him in interviews in the finals and, you know, Bryce, you were phenomenal. Oh, I thought my teammates were great. Come on, yep. mate. You just, yep. you know, like that's just how beautiful he is, right? I just can't see someone as educated and the way he portrays himself. He just wouldn't opt out unless there's something. But that's where time will tell.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right, because otherwise I think it's a bad decision on his part. It's a selfish decision. Please don't come at me via email or social media saying they've only got a small window to earn. They've got to earn as much as they can. I agree with that. I agree with that completely. And I think if you've got a better offer, you've got to take it. But at this point, the status of the world, you can't have a better offer. There's no... You just can't. These are agents playing games, and this is a real time when agents should be pulling their heads in and trying to preserve the prospect of leagues continuing, because leagues could fall over. And we've already got in the WNBL, we've got WNBL over in France. They won't be playing the French equivalent of their WNBL. That won't be happening. They've already abandoning that. So, you know, there are things happening where it's not the way it was. The world's changing, and it has to because of this situation. And so, again, if he was going to something better, I would have no qualms about it. But if you're just throwing yourself out there that there might be something better for me, no, I think that's bullshit.
Well, time will tell with that. And if you're right, and I just picked up something, first off, if anyone wants to email or, you know, tag Boddy and anything to have a go at him, tag me in it as well. No, do it. Like, don't feel bad. Oh, he'll be sitting home at his lounge with all plastic over it, you know, like the way
I've taken it off.
No,
I have.
So just go at him. Don't worry about that. And if you don't worry, I will personally anyway. But there's something that's stuck in my mind there. If an agent is telling his players, oh, no, this is crap, don't accept 50%, get out of there and we'll get you anywhere else. Yeah, you're not watching the world.
Yeah,
okay. that's complete blinkers, and I cannot fathom that. That's just ridiculous if you're doing that. If they're saying a player to get out because here I've got this on the table for you, well done. Like that's what an agent should be doing. They look after their player, and if they can get them more money, yes, they have a small window to earn it and go get it. But if you don't, if you find out that he's gone somewhere and he couldn't get the money, or now he's got to come back to Perth or whatever, it would be interesting. So yeah, I couldn't agree. I did hear today as well, Matty Hodgson, I think he's opted out as well.
Yep. I've heard that. That's come through. I think his agent, Dr. Moldovan, has let the world know via his usual source. And also, I think you'll find that Daniel Johnson, five-time Adelaide 36ers MVP, is at that point where he's considering opting out. There was John Casey, who's always got his finger on the pulse, had a story on the TV news the other night interviewing Daniel, and he made it clear that he was hoping to negotiate something with the 36ers, but it looks like he's looking to go out as well. So now, if we're not just losing our imports, but we're starting to lose our better Australian players, the league is starting to resemble or potentially resemble the CBL or the NBL 1 comp, isn't it? So will we be able to pull a crowd of 13,000 people in Perth? I don't know.
It's going to be, again, it's interesting. And these players pulling out, those are the ones that's like with Matty Hodgson and DJ, no disrespect for them. I can't see them going to the NBA, right? So they're not going there. Bryce Cotton, absolutely. So I'm thinking to myself when I'm sitting there and I'm going, they're not going to go and play for another team because I can't. Well, they can't. Sorry, they can't. So they can't.
No, they're contracted.
They're actually contracted to the team they're with. So unless and they're not on the free agency, so that's irrelevant. So I'm thinking to myself, well, the only option is Europe. And I'm thinking to myself, do they know something the rest of the world doesn't? Because Europe, like, I mean, you saw what happened with, you know, in Spain and Italy. I mean, oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's no even talk of sport being played over there. But look, maybe they know something we don't, and time will tell.
Mm, okay. I think they're listening to their agents, but that's the way it is today. So let's talk about July 1 free agency. What's the point of that? I'm too, you know, remember the movie Philadelphia? When Denzel Washington's in court and he says, you know, explain this to me like I'm a six-year-old, because in this, I'm thinking, why have we put free agency off when all that has to happen is a coach or a GM picks up the telephone and rings the agent or the player direct and they negotiate? Like, how did coronavirus impact on that?
No, it's a good treat you like a 6-year-old. I thought I'd been doing that since we started, but anyway,
we've both been doing that. Thank you.
Look, I understand it, and the reason why, and I look at it this way: nothing can be officially signed off then by the NBL, and they're giving themselves as much time as they can because, you know, not so much now, but 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, this COVID was changing hourly. Everything was changing by the hour. And, you know, we can't do this, we can do this, you can't do socializing, you can, we're not doing this. You know, they're wanting everyone to download the app, which I've done. Okay, so that COVID's safe, I've done. I think it's a great idea. Looking forward to those emails and text messages. But I just think they're giving themselves as much chance as possible to be able to give the guys that are on free agency the opportunity to, number one, earn the maximum they can, and number two, give them the flexibility that if something changes, we're just opening up. Remember, the biggest dog in the park is on a free agency, and that's Andrew Bogut.
Yeah, but look,
all those deals be done. I agree with you. I have no doubt about that. Yeah. But it does give them the flexibility to be able to say, well, look, the deal's done, but hey, something might change here. And if you sign a contract now, you don't want to be changing all of that and doing all that again. So that's how I see it. I might be completely wrong, but that's my take.
No, okay, fair enough. But I'm just, the world is naive if it believes that coaches and GMs aren't talking to agents and players on the phone. And maybe we're not talking dollars, but there's a ballpark figure, and they're making agreements that, as you say, can still be invalidated because they're not worth the paper they're not written on, etc.
Mate, I remember in my 97, I was having a decent year with the Kings, and halfway during the season, I got a call from Townsville. Now, I don't know who the bloke called me, right? But it came and he was like, listen, you know, we're looking at this. What are you doing next year? Blah, blah. And I was on a way.
We got an opening in our pizza parlor.
Oh, no, it was floor wiping, right? Okay. But
wasn't delivery.
No, delivery. I wouldn't do that. No, we were floor wipers, and they were like, "Listen, you know, we've got a really good opening as a floor wiper." No, seriously. So they were like, "You know, Lupin is your backup point guard," and so that happens. There's no question.
Of course it does.
And for players, you know, and for people listening, like it was meant to be 2 weeks after the grand final finish. That's where it's always been with the free agency, and everyone's done before then. But then you can announce it, things like that. But I'm going to pose to you, will Andrew Bogut retire?
That's a really good question, because I was surprised at what he had to say about that he's seriously considering it. I think the Olympics was his goal. The 2020 Tokyo Olympics was, I reckon now that was going to be his swan song. Yeah. You know, Australia, you know, he leaves the game and Australia maybe has its historic first men's medal at an Olympics. Great note to go out on. Mm. If you can't go out on a championship, which they didn't. So I'm curious as to whether this period now that we're going through, his body is healing. And if his body is healing, whether he then decides, okay, I can go around one more time, or whether it's like, well, I'm having a nice break from it, and actually I'm really enjoying it, and I'm not feeling the pull to go back. So, yeah, only Andrew can answer that question. But at this particular point in time, I suspect he may go around again.
I think it's a great point that you make, because that is two complete opposite thoughts, and there's no question that's what's going through people's minds. So he could be sitting there going, you know, you see this with basketballers, you've seen it with rugby league players, you've seen it with AFL players, where they can, you know, extend their life in a sport. You don't want to say having an injury, because you don't want, but you know what I mean. Like, if you have that break, it really, really works you well. But on the other hand, when you have that break and, you know, you're isolated like we've been, and it's like, oh, you know what, I don't want to go back to preseason. I don't want to do this. You know, so it's a really interesting. So remembering, he signed a 2-year deal with the Sydney Kings, and that 2-year deal is up. And from my understanding, it's a 10% share in the Kings the day he retires. So I don't know where and how that works out. But he is free to go and play anywhere, but it's going to be on a 50%. Right, unless he's going to earn 50 grand, I think he'll be on more than 200. I'm just guessing, but I agree with you. I think he will go round one more, and I do think that he will go round to attempt to be with the Boomers next year.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be a shortened season or an abbreviated season in some form. I mean, you think back, as I'm sure most of our listeners would be watching The Last Dance of the Chicago, right? Now. when they broke that team up, yeah, it's fabulous. But when they broke that team up, then came the lockout season. So if they hadn't broken that team out up, they might have won a fourth in a row if they had kept them together, if Jerry Krause had had the nous to do that. So you sort of think, well, if you look back historically, that was a mistake, and to separate them when they did, it might be a mistake for Andrew now to make this call and not play on when, you know, you don't know what form the season will take. It may be able to accommodate him and where he's at physically. So I'm leaning towards, I haven't chatted with him for a while, so I'm guessing this is a guess.
He's also an owner of a team once he retires, so maybe it's in his best interest to come back and play. He'll be helping his business. So, but like for me, I think he'll come back based on the Boomers, as I said. So I want to lead into that with the Boomers. What does this mean for them now? Because, you know, is this all plays in? Does Brett Brown now still stay as head coach? Because, you know, that was sort of like just until the Olympics is over. I read during the week that Tokyo have now said, I don't know if we can have the Olympics. We'd need some vaccine before we can do that. So very open-ended for all these guys. And some of these guys would have been peaked right now, getting ready. And there's going to be some people that would make the team this year that won't make it next year.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And that's a shame for some people like that. And that, I mean, and that's across every sport, swimming, athletics, the whole thing. So it's just such a thing. What does this mean for the Boomers? And I want to throw in the Opals there with that as well, Boddy. What does it mean?
Well, I don't think it means anything that's more dramatic for us in Australia than it would be for the team coming out of France, the teams coming out of Spain. Everybody's in the same boat, Brad. Okay, the other nations will have players that are close to retirement, close to their peak, that are all impacted on this. And it's not just us. It isn't just us. The good thing that we have, particularly with the Opals, is that a player like, say, a Kayla George, who's reaching the end, certainly of her international career, if she can't make it through to 2021 for that particular Tokyo Olympics, Alana Smith is ready to step into those shoes. You know, we've got Ezzie Magbegor. There are other people that the Opals are not in bad shape, okay? But it's more interesting where an Andrew Bogut, yeah, he's definitely at the end. And if he can't go on, we don't have somebody that replaces him.
There's not a seven-footer sitting around the door, is there? You know, I know what you mean. No. I just want to say about Alana Smith as well. What a player. And I actually, when I, in 98, I think it was my last season, I played with her dad, Darren, and absolutely beautiful family. Absolutely beautiful family. So I love watching her hoop, man. She can play.
Yeah. Yep.
But okay, you're right about Bogut. You know, what if he retires? I mean, we'll still have Baines, which is obviously, but he's, you know, him and Bogut are 1-2 bang. And the Bogut defensive presence, you saw what the world was, good he was. And look, I just hope for Australian sport, I hope for the Boomers that he does go one more year, because what he's done to the league, what he's done for the Boomers, everything is just phenomenal. And I mean, New Zealand are going to be in that as well, Boddy. You know,
everyone's affected though, Brad. It's not just this region of the world. In fact, we're probably, the way we're handling the COVID-19 situation down here compared to the way they're handling it in places like Europe and Asia, we're doing pretty good. They may be more impacted than we are.
Okay, so let's talk about overseas teams, New Zealand. Now we'll come back to the NBL. Is this going to be a problem, do you think, for them? Because they travel a lot. You know, what does this mean for New Zealand now? As in, you know, the breakers I'm talking about coming in. Do they live here now? What do they do?
I don't know. I don't know what form the season takes. So, like, do you go over there and you play them, you know, four times or whatever it is, you know, like, or do they come over here and stay in Australia for a couple of weeks? So it's all up in the air at the moment, I would have thought. But, you know, we don't know where we'll be in October in terms of restrictions. We might be in better shape. You know, here in South Australia, we're doing really quite well. We haven't had any new COVID-19 cases in.
You guys have got running water now, don't you?
Yeah, we have. But that's great. Yeah, that's because we listen. We listen when the authorities say, and we're good in South Australia because we were settled by free people.
Mate? I wasn't listening. What'd you say?
We were settled by free settlers. Unlike New South Wales and Victoria with your convict backgrounds, Brad, like if you got a great grandfather that was breaking rocks with a sledgey, because you guys aren't obeying the rules and you're still in trouble.
I turned off it when you said you don't listen. Sorry. Can you just repeat that? That's going to be, I sort of like, when you were saying stuff about New Zealand, I was like, well, maybe they come over here for a couple of weeks. Yeah, you could see all of that. I just listen to, you know, ScoMo, and I listen to everything that's going on, and I just can't see, like, international flights being a go for ages. Like, that's what brought this in theory, yes. You know, I mean, obviously international flights, whether it was boats or whatever, there's just no way the borders are going to do that. And if they do come in, I can't see that self-isolation for 14 days will go away. Like, that's going to be in for years. Like, I shouldn't say years, sorry. That's going to be in for ages, unless a vaccine's found, obviously. But I listen on the news, you know, they're like, if they can find a vaccine before the end of the year, it would be ridiculously amazing. We think it's going to be next year. So, I mean, you know, we're just in May. So there is so much to go on this, and, you know, I mean, like you said, it is October. We are very lucky with our sport. Geez, we got it done. I know obviously the way it ended with Perth winning, you know, wasn't the great end to the season, but well done for them. Thank God we got through 99% of it. You know, all the other sports aren't even opening.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We actually done pretty well.
So really. I want to talk to you about Cairns and Wollongong, right? And
you're going to have to hurry because we're getting near the end of our program.
Yeah, that's all right. I know. Yeah, where have you got to go, mate? Like, there's nowhere we've got to go. Like, we.
That doesn't mean people.
You're going to take the plastic off the couches again or something. You got nowhere.
That doesn't mean people want to listen to us rabbit on ad infinitum. They get to a point where they go, Jesus, these two guys, that's enough. And they just flick us off.
All seven of them are going.
Stop saying seven. You know, there's more than that. You know there is. Okay, you're going the wrong direction. Jesus, you run a business?
Mate, when I walk backwards, you hear beep, beep. Okay, that's a different story. Cairns and Wollongong, are they going to survive this? Let's be honest. They are the ones that struggle with the money. Now, what about, talk about Mello buying Wollongong.
Yeah, okay. Well, I believe it when I see it, all right? I believe it when I see it. I don't think they might have some interest in being part of a consortium, but I shall believe it when I see it.
All right, so Cairns and Wollongong to survive. Now with your boys, Adelaide, the Joey Wright saga finished, gone. Kevin White, gone.
What a shock.
Yeah, you said it on this show. Like, that's not going to end well. Connor Henry, the new head coach of the Adelaide 36ers. Now, first off, it was our mail that it was going straight down Capon.
Yeah, he had the job. I think coronavirus happened. I think he knocked it back because there's a certain security in working for the government. When you're working at the VA Centre of Excellence, or as opposed to taking a chance now to go to a league where you don't know. We've just been talking for half an hour about all the question marks over what the future holds. So I think it was a sensible decision on his part. I think there might have also been a financial element to it that didn't suit him in the end. So he was their number one choice. So when they announced they've got Connor Henry, we've got our man. Well, yeah, you got your man, but that wasn't the man you wanted, but you got him.
We got our man because we couldn't get the other one.
Which you can't really, that's not exactly a huge selling point. And Connor Henry's come out and said that they're going to play defense. They're going to work really hard, and everything's going to come from their defense, and they're going to play attractive basketball, Brad. Yeah.
I've never heard that before from a coach.
Me neither. I was shocked. I thought this is revolutionary. Jeez, I wonder why Joey never thought of that. Anyway.
Can I ask, purchase signing, do you reckon that was because he thought, what's her name, Capon was going there?
Purchase signing. You mean Giddy signing?
Sorry, Giddy. So, see, this is the Melbourne Tigers purchase. Giddy signing. Do you think that's because?
No. I think it was sort of happening at the same time.
I'm looking forward to him playing. I reckon I like him. I like him a lot.
Yeah, so do I, but he's going to give him one season. And I think to sort of appoint a coach on the basis that we're going to have a kid for a season who may or may not have impact, because let's have a look at how big the impact has been of the next stars in that 1 year. And with the exception of Ball and Hampton, hasn't been huge. So I don't think that was connected. And I think Connor Henry, he had a 37-28 record with the Wildcats back when he coached them for two seasons in 2008, 2009, and then he left, and then Rob Beveridge won a championship the year after. And he was an assistant at the Kings, which you'd know him as. Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, I had a bit to do with him when he was at the Kings. He was assistant coach to Ian Rebellion. And I was sort of part of I wasn't part of coaching staff at all, but I just sort of was helping out the team and did some stuff. And I I didn't really know much about him. I know he is a very aggressive coach. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but, you know, like full on. Like he will be barking instructions.
Intense,
good word. And he will be barking instructions from the sideline. And usually those intensive coaches, they're the ones that are all about the defense. Because it's yelling and yelling and yelling. So he will need a young team around him. Most of those young guys, you know, listen.
Drimmick's out. Frolling's out. So, you know, we're looking at older guys. We've got Daniel Dillon. We've got Brendan Tees, you know, in Adelaide. So I'm not seeing too many younger guys.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, in history of what I've seen, when coaches are barking on that defense, yeah, you need some young legs. And it will be very interesting to see how he goes. A 3-year deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Which, again, I think is a huge mistake. They just got into a situation where they signed Joey for 5. And after three, you know, after 2, they were really looking to unload him. They made the 3rd one was a difficult year for him. So and he was gone. So why would you now appoint a guy who has no history of success in the NBL? He's done very well in the G League, but not in the NBL. Why would you sign him for 3 years? Why wouldn't you sign him for 2?
Yeah.
And then have an option for a 3rd that's the club option. Because year 1, he gets the honeymoon, because we're all getting through this coronavirus situation. He gets the honeymoon. Year 2, we get to see if the team is going anywhere. And then if you like that, okay, you exercise the option.
It was a shock for me too. That's a big commitment with what you've just gone through. And I agree with you. Maybe they had no choice. You know what I mean? It's 3 or I'm not coming. I mean, you know, it's an interesting one because, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not in the country. So here's another issue. How do you get him in? Same as our imports. What if the coach doesn't come?
Mm. So, yeah, he'll be in quarantine for a couple of weeks. So,
yeah. Yeah, he might be in a couple of years if he's the Adelaide coach as well. Mate, I want to finish it off. I've loved this, but I want to finish this off with a huge congratulations to...
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've done good work, and I'm glad you finally acknowledged it.
Let's just talk about this, mate. You've been on a bit of a fitness kick, I believe.
I have been. Yes. Cooking for yourself, and that's what happens. You end up losing weight. I've dropped 21 kilo.
Is that how much the moustache weighed?
That's how much it weighed. Yep. I shaved it off and we measured it. And geez, it was stunning. It was stunning.
Can I just say, I got a text message recently and I've got a photo of body on there and it came through without the moustache. Mate, I deleted it. I was like, who the hell's this boy?
Who is this? Yeah. No, the last time I shaved the moustache off was a long time ago, and I looked like a beach ball. So having lost 20 kilo, I thought, I wonder what I look like without the moustache. So I took it off, and I'm growing it back.
Well, I think it's fantastic. Well done for losing 20. Is it true you have signed as the backup four man for the Adelaide 36ers?
No, that's the backup floor man. So that when the kids start, you're half. When the kids are wiping the court, if they're sort of not doing a good job, they'll call on me. Finally.
Well, that's funny because you're probably the one that's putting the sweat on the court with all the dribbling you do out of your mouth. So that's quite good.
But you know what? If there's no imports or no one worth going to see, I might just be sticking at home with my feet up watching TV.
I thought you were going to say you'll be the halftime entertainment. No. I do want to say a shout out, not to body, but a shout out to Utah Athletics have named Hall of Famers Andrew Bogut and Lelani Mitchell. Outstanding. And congratulate, what thoroughly deserved, and what a great time.
Yes, couldn't agree more. Great note for us to end on, a positive note, because that's a fantastic thing. Both thoroughly deserve it, and excellent basketball players and people. Love knowing them, privileged to know them.
I agree. Well, body, thanks for joining us, everyone. Yep. Thanks for listening. We've had a ball doing this. We'll see where it takes us over the next couple of months, and maybe we'll do another one. Please make sure you come through. Tell us what number listen you are. We love it, body. You keep working out, mate. Lift those couches up. Best. Take the plastic off, my man.
They're off. I'm trying to. It's all tarps now.
See you next time.
Cheers.